Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to begin.
And now for something completely different.
Come on, feel the noise.
I want to rock.
Let's get the rock out of here.
Damn straight!
Are you ready to rock?
You know who I am?
Who are you?
Your DJ for this evening.
I've been reading all your press clippings and listening to tapes of your shows for weeks. And you're really something. You're very funny.
I try to amuse.
I listen to your show all the time. I think you're a sick, foul mouth, disgusting man. And you make people really nauseous 365 days a year.
Man, you're so funny, man. That's why I love to listen to your show. That's why all the kids listen to you, man. Plus, you know, these goons push you around. You know, all the kids listen to you. You are the best thing on the radio!
We're going to go to a message. I'll be right back after I shoot up.
KG95.
It's coming.
BJ Bradley.
Yeah, it's like sometimes like uncontrollable.
BJ Bradley.
Innocent by reason of insanity.
Hey. It's BJ Bradley on your radio.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Today's best mix, KG95, with 6 hours of stoppage music brought to you by Cost Cutters, Franken, and the New Year.
Oh my God!
I know, I said the same thing when I found out. It's like a mental orgasm for me. The Spin Doctors, Little Mission, can't be wrong. The new sound of KG95. Hey, ladies, you guys can really sing. You should have heard them singing that song. West High School cheerleaders here. Also, the North High School cheerleaders here, too. We got about 25 people in here right now. I'm really getting stuffed and claustrophobic. I'm about to go throw up or something. There's Bruce Hornsby.
The new sound of KG95. Gina Turner, why must we wait until tonight? 717 with BJ. Go on the phones. Hello.
Yeah, BJ.
Yeah.
If I come down with you tomorrow night with those cheerleaders in there?
No.
Why not?
Because I said so. That's why.
Well, I'm going to come down anyway.
Yeah, well, lock the door.
I'll break it down then.
Aren't you big stuff?
I'm not. I hate you.
Oh, you're a big man.
The hottest item on the...
KG95 is KGLI Sioux City with the Hot 5 at 9. Dangerous countdown in the entire free world.
And here we go, Sioux City, 9 o'clock, straight up with BJ, taking the calls for dedications. 258-FM95. Number 5 on the Hot 5 at 9 tonight. This is Green Day. The song's called When I Come Around. KG95.
Number 5.
Finish out of KG95. Rick, is it true everybody's going out gambling tonight? Can I say gambling on the air? Oh, probably too late now, isn't it? Whoops. Sorry, Ted. This is Expose, As Long As I Can Dream, KG95.
Hit radio, KG95. It's Gloria Estefan, Live for Love and You. 8:35 with BJ. Somebody on the phone with me here. Hello?
Hello.
You said you didn't want to go on the air with me because why?
Oh, I don't want to sound stupid like you. Just haven't figured out what you're doing in the morning, have you?
Now, wait a minute. What is it with you people? I'm just filling in. I'm just being nice.
Well, people like me in this gracious town of Siouxland enjoy good music in the morning, and I just don't find it now.
But you just don't want somebody to talk all the time. That's what your problem is. And I'm not talking all the time, am I?
Talking more than I am right now.
For satisfaction.
This is the Brad Westmar Show.
A little trip down memory lane there, Jared.
You
remember those days?
No. I mean, I remember the music from those days, but I don't remember your particular take on those.
Did we kick things off there for you with one of your favorite acts? One of your favorite bands of all time?
I loathe the Spin Doctors. I really hate...
If you won't call me baby, More reasons than I can count.
Played the crap out of those two songs for years and years and years and years and years.
Do you hate them as much as I do?
At this point, I still don't mind those two songs. It's really weird. I mean, usually when you're in radio, you play songs over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and you get sick of them, which happened with most of them. But for some reason, those two songs, I don't mind hearing them every once in a while. I mean,
I knew I hated you.
It's okay. Well,
it took me a while. Now I figured it out.
It's not the only reason you hate me. But,
it's probably the most valid.
Yes, sir.
I have to interject here from the Batcave.
Certainly.
Your voice sounds a lot better now than then. You were good then, but you were like more higher. It was like a higher pitched kind of thing going on.
Well, yes. There, much like Elvis, okay, there were two B.J. Bradleys, okay? Elvis, there was the thin, handsome Elvis, and then there was the fat, longer sideburned, longer-haired Elvis, right? I actually preferred the fat, longer-haired, longer sideburned Elvis. Go figure. I actually had two faces as B.J. Bradley back in the day. There was the nighttime guy who was trying to break in and trying to, be hyper, and which I was on here. These are all clips from the nighttime stuff, okay? Except for, I think, that last one, which was when I was filling in for the morning show at one time. Then there's also the midday clips when I was always the midday guy, the at-work guy, and I was much more subdued and much more relaxed. So, yeah, back then, my voice was just all over the place.
Yeah, it was kind of different, wasn't it?
A little like Mickey Mouse.
It was cool, though.
Back then. Well, thank you. Well, that was, the reason that I bring that up, let's intro the show first. I am Brad of the Brad Westmar Show, and sitting across from me here is Jared Afkar.
Howdy.
Great to have you here. And of course, in the Batcave, you just heard from Batman himself running the controls, our executive producer. And I thought it'd be a good idea. We have so many new listeners out there of this show that didn't hear the old show, and they don't really know our background. So I thought, first of all, I should tell a little bit about myself. And what you just heard was clips to prove the fact that I am not a complete tard when it comes to this radio. I mean,
no.
I used to actually make money doing it, as we've discussed before. And that was back in the day, back in the late 80s and the 90s. I was a radio DJ back in the day.
Before the
drugs.
Back
when there was money in radio.
Right, exactly. Back when it wasn't pre-recorded and things like that. I left just before things started to become voice-tracked and pre-recorded. I just wanted to prove that I really used to do this for a living, I guess. Did not make much money doing it.
Well, case has been made. Consider it has now entered the official record, right?
It is on the record of the Brad Westmar Show that my name once was B.J. Bradley. This is correct.
Right.
Don't ask me how that... we're talking here today, you and I. Yeah, I know. About naming your business, right?
Right.
And you have to be very careful naming your business because that name is going to be your business name always. I mean, you really can change it, but really you want to go with something you're going to want to keep to brand it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Dave Grohl said on the latest Foo Fighters documentary, at the end of it, if you catch the very end of it, he basically says, if I'd have known this was going to be such a big thing for me, we never would have had the name Foo Fighters because it's the stupidest freaking band name in the entire world,
Right.
And so I roll the same way with the name B.J. Bradley. Big mistake. Big mistake. I mean, and here's how I came up with the name. I mean, the very first time I ever went on the radio, I was at a college radio station in 1989. And I just kind of got to thinking, well, what kind of a combo of my name can I use to kind of, my name's Bradley James. So, when I was little, my parents and some of my relatives called me BJ because in the 70s, nobody thought of it as a blowjob. Okay?
Right.
It was just BJ, So that's how the name came about. I said, BJ Bradley. Yeah, that's got a good ring to it. And it did have a good ring to it. And it did, I did brand it in the small market of Sioux City, Iowa.
But technically, isn't that like calling you Bradley James Bradley?
So, something like this is technically, this is true.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify.
It's not unusual. Wasn't there a guy named Morris Morris on WKRP? Isn't Blythe's dad's name allegedly legally Emery Emery?
I suppose.
Allegedly.
Right.
And she would claim right now, it is! It effing is! I just hear her right now. But anyway, so yeah, I kind of regret that name, but neither here nor there. But back in those days when I was in radio, okay, we have to put the emphasis on the wrong syllables.
I was wondering why you were doing
DJ, that. Radio. First of all, I was really fat. And a lot of people for most of it, with the exception of the last year and a half or so. A lot of people don't understand. I think this came up on the show when Brandon was here. Was it off air or something about my weight and that I used to be much larger? And in fact, I'm going to post a before and after picture of me. When I was about my heaviest in 1994, which was, you know, 15 plus years ago, okay?
Right.
And from last summer, I think I've got a picture or something like that, somewhere in that neck of the woods, to show the difference. I mean, at one time, I weighed over three bills. I'm 6 foot three.
Ooh.
And I was a pretty big fat guy, okay? And the funny thing is that we talked about your high school reunion last week on the show. By the way, any final decisions yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'm still in the air on that.
Okay. Okay. Maybe we'll talk about it again soon. Saw a lot of people that I hadn't seen in a long time. Some were wider than they were tall, as we talked about.
Right.
And there was a gal that was a very cute little redhead back in the day when we were in high school who, she was another one that I didn't recognize very well when at the reunion.
Right.
We were out playing baseball the first day, and it took me a couple of seconds to realize who she was. Well, one of the biggest questions that happened on my high school reunion was, how did you lose the weight? Because they all knew me as a fat guy back in high school. Right. You know, and they all assume, of course, that I had
some surgery.
Surgery. Yeah. Exactly. And the first thing out of my mouth is no. I did it the all natural way. Okay.
Right.
You know, I ate right. I exercised.
Strength of will.
And had some great willpower. Precisely. So this gal that I was telling you about just now happened to send me a Facebook message here a couple of weeks ago. And obviously the news didn't get around to her as to why I look the way now that I do based on how or versus how I looked back then in high school. She sends me a note that says, "Hey Brad, so did you have R&Y surge?" First of all, I'm like, "What's R&Y surge?" It took me a second to figure out. And then I was like, "Oh, okay. Gotcha." Then she asked me how long it's been. So she's immediately assuming that I did have surgery. How long has it been? She goes on to say, "I had it done 6 months ago. I've lost 70 pounds so far. 70 pounds in 6 months. That is an average of 12 pounds a month."
Hmm.
If I'm doing the math right.
Right. I think that's about right.
"And about 3 pounds a week." That's an S load of weight. That's a lot of weight to lose that quickly. She says, "I've kind of plateaued." And by the way, she's like 5'2", 5'3". So the fact that she had 70 pounds to lose in the first place says a lot. And that she's plateaued, which means she wants to lose more. Holy cow. Are we trying to get back down to 94 pounds?
Well, unless she was this bowling ball shaped, was she?
Well, I told you, there's a lot of people that were wider than they were tall.
Could you roll her around?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. She reminded me of that fiery red bowling ball that I had back in the day. Yeah. Oh,
fiery is the appropriate word.
Yes. Anyway, she said, "I've kind of plateaued and wondered if you had some advice. I still struggle with lots of nausea." Now, this here makes me think to myself, thinking, this is why I don't like surgery.
Well, and it's a quick fix.
It is such a quick fix.
And you don't get to live your life normally after you have it. I mean,
you know,
I've known people who've had it, and they don't get to have a regular big butt meal.
No, ever. You know? Well, at least not unless you go so far out of control that your stomach expands to a point where it can handle something like that again, you know.
Right.
She goes on to say, as you've just said, "One day I can eat something, and then the next day I'll try it, and I get sick." The good thing is that I'm no longer on any of my 18 pills I was on before surgery. Yeah.
Oh, I can only imagine what those pills might have.
No kidding. "I feel so much better. Any advice would be appreciated." Doesn't sound like you feel better, honey.
I mean, you're just swapping one
yeah, one problem for another. Yeah. Exactly. This could have been a gripe of the week. I could go on about this for an entire 1 hour show, but this show is supposed to
not be.
But you know where I'm coming from with
this. Well, and you've kind of earned the right to make that distinction. You know,
I like to feel that I have.
You've done it, and I'm not doing this in a kiss buddy kind of way here. I mean, this is.
I know.
You've earned it. And so it's for people who are looking the cheap way. It just floors me that you can spend decades eating and not like crap and not doing anything to better your situation, then you just want an instant fix when you realize the hole you've dug yourself into.
Yeah, and then the excuses start coming. I mean, I don't even know how you get into this spiral where people are saying, "I can't lose weight." You know, and then you go to a doctor and say, "Well, I can't lose weight." I mean, I could go on about this forever. I need to stop. I probably just need to blog about it on the website. But it just, and I wasn't mad at this gal at all. I mean, I sent her a note back and I said, no, I didn't have surgery. She said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you did." I told her, you know, here's a couple of thoughts for you. I said, here's a Facebook group that might be able to help you out. You know, here's another website with a message board or something like that. I'm thinking, what about your doctor?
Yeah,
that why don't you ask thought. Your doctor who screwed you up? Okay. Right. That was what I wanted to say, but I thought it was such an obvious answer that I didn't want to insult her or, you know, minimize her or anything like that. You know, so I kind of let it go from there. But I wanted to share. I mean, that's how fat I used to be. People think that I had surgery. And I'm only 100 pounds-ish lighter than I was at my very heaviest. And these guys in high school didn't even see me at my heaviest.
Right.
You know, so I'm not really that much lighter. I mean, 60 pounds or so.
You gotta admit, though, it's kind of cool that people think that you did that and you did all it.
This is true.
The normal way.
It's kind of cool. Yeah, no, it is. It is. Now, to get back on the subject of my radio days really quick. I don't remember a lot of them. And it's really weird. I didn't really do any drugs, okay, during that period. I did them later when I had a kid. No, I'm kidding. Right. Of course. I mean, sure, I drank a lot, and I even smoked cigarettes back then.
Cool.
And I catted around, you know, for the ladies and stuff like that, even as a big fat guy. But for some reason, I don't know if I just blocked it out. Because, you know, when I moved down here, okay, 1997, I was divorced, and I met my current wife, you know, Christy. She and I were dating for a couple, two or three months, 4 months, and she ended up down here in Kansas City, and I followed her. I said, you know what? I'm ready for a real life. This radio thing is not doing it for me. Making $20,000 a year and working your ass off to do it, not having weekends off, you know, working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, depending upon the situation, it's just not cutting it for me. I mean, I like radio, but you know what? I just don't see myself going anywhere. I left it. 1997, I said, I guess I'm done. I'm going to try something new. And I got into the business world of, you know, doing what my special job and everything.
Hello.
Right.
It's your
of course.
Drug dealer.
And the rest is history, you know, and here I am. But I got the bug back in 2005, you know, but I didn't want to do, hey, everybody, it's BJ Bradley. You know,
is that how it goes?
Something like that.
Something like that's very Foghorn Leghorn of you.
I'll say that, boy. Could switching to Geico really help save you 15% on your car insurance? Could Foghorn Leghorn tie a knot with it? You know, I don't know. Didn't have one ready. Sorry. But I don't remember those days. I don't know if I just blocked them out. I mean, I know there are tons of stories from those years that I spent, 89 to 97. Doing that stuff, and I can only remember this much, just a little bit.
A wee little bit.
So we're going to talk to here in the second segment tonight, a guy who I hold very, very dear in my heart because he was kind of a student, I guess, of mine when it came to radio for a while. He went to high school. He went to the same high school I did, but he was younger than I was. He came in, I think, either as an intern, I think he came as a part-timer. He started the same way I did, running the board for baseball games. Mm-hmm. Okay, pardon me. I need to take a drink. I know how much you guys love it when I take a drink on mic. So, Jim Rome. See, Jim Rome, though, he kind of triple tastes it when he does it. You know, it's like
stop.
It's almost like he's
that's so disgusting.
You know, it's almost like he's you know what I'm saying.
I enough.
Okay. Anyway, so where was I? Foghorn Leghorn? No.
No, got to start. Okay. You're talking about your pal, you whom you hold dear, who got to start in radio, writing the board.
Yes, thank you. That, exactly. That's what, and he actually eventually started to be my, you could call him my producer. When I would go out and do live broadcasts at swimming pools or events and things like that, he was back at the station. Running the board, doing all my stuff, keeping me good, keeping me solid, telling me what to do, telling me what's going on, telling me how much time's left. He was always there for me. And he was like, you know, Elvis, you know, I love Elvis. We don't talk about Elvis on this show very much, but Elvis had a guy whose name was Charlie Hodge. And Charlie Hodge was the guy on stage, Batman knows him, was the guy on stage who sang harmony, played acoustic guitar, and also always brought Elvis his water and his scarves. Okay. This friend of mine from my radio past was my Charlie Hodge. I always called him Charlie. actually.
That's very sweet.
Call him Matt here. That's his real name. But Magic Matt, actually, is what we used to call him. So we're going to talk to him in the second segment. He's actually got a really cool sports story. Well, I find it cool because I was shocked as hell to find out what he had done with his baseball allegiance. And I think this is something you can relate to, Jared, given the fact that you are a diehard Red Sox.
Right.
So I want to, when he tells his story, I want to see if you could fathom doing what he has done. It'll make more sense when he tells the story.
Okay. So,
and one more thing here before the break. I wanted to mention this because it's of a personal note, which, again, this is something I think you can relate to. I've been batching it, sort of, because I have a three-year-old in my house.
But right.
My wife finally got a job. Congratulations. Hey. About time. Only been unemployed for 13. No, not that long.
You going to miss all the special cookies?
And, you know, I don't think she'll stop. She did you like them? Did
yeah,
you,
I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Fine job. Yeah. I like your wife's cookies.
What a coincidence. So do I. Very nice. Anyway, she had to go out of town for a few days because of this new gig she's gotten. And for the first time, I've been left alone for about 3 days with our daughter. And it's gone fine. But I will say this. Newfound respect for my wife, certainly not something that I want to do on a regular basis.
No.
I mean, basically, I got a taste of what it'd be like to be a single parent. No, thank you.
Yeah, I came away with a new respect for single parents after that.
Well, and you've got an experience. Now, this is, I'm kind of jumping again, but Brandon was saying to me the other day that he thought that he could sit down and have a drink with you and you guys would have a lot in common. And I said, you might. I said, but there's one thing Jared has on everybody out there that nobody has. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Possibly.
And it was funny because there was another guy on Twitter that said, does he have one ball like Lance Armstrong? I said, no. He thought when I said one thing that it meant, no, he's not Lance Armstrong.
That's not, or my voice isn't nasally because I have only one.
Right,
I only
right,
have a single
exactly.
ball-powered voice.
Exactly.
Right.
But I did tell him that he was on the right track by talking about your testicles. Okay.
And they did get me into trouble.
Exactly. So, great story. We've got to tell that story. We always talked about telling that story on the old show. We never told it. Okay.
Right.
And I think this is, now that we brought it up on the air in passing without actually telling people what it is, it's definitely something we got to hit here pretty soon. In a nutshell, you know what I'm saying?
Just no pun intended.
Exactly. Just right. The highlights. Because it too, your story with that too, is very similar to going through what I've been going through in a roundabout way, kind of almost like a shock, you know, kind of a thing. So anyway, definitely happy that my wife has a job. Definitely happy she's coming home here in the next couple of hours, which is great. And also learned real quick about this. I can't sleep. See, I can't put a pillow over my head. I can't have any kind of, I like to have noise while I sleep, like a humidifier or something like that. Can't have any of that on. Because I'm afraid I'm going to miss my daughter screaming for me to come and help her go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, which happens about once a night right now.
Does she scream? She doesn't just get out of bed and find you? Or
No, because...
You tie her down?
You know, yeah. when we set the bed up recently, in the last year, so that she can get in and out of it by herself, she started to come out of the room and come into our room. But that was when she was going through this wake-up phase in the middle of the night over and over and over and over and over again. So we said, we got to stop that. So we put one of those things on the door so she can't get out by herself. So she has to, call us. But no, Jared, seriously. I mean, you have to understand.
I know. It just paints a funny picture.
I mean, it kind of does. We didn't tie her in bed, at least. We stopped doing that last month.
Just hope there's no fire or, you know, a pit of scorpions that opens up.
That would be bad. That's why when my wife is not home, I can't sleep with anything distracting me. Okay? Right. So what I learned was I can't sleep without noise. I really still can't sleep without it. I woke up the first night in the middle of the night. First of all, everything that happened woke me up. The dog sniffling, the dog licking herself, the dog shaking, the dog whatever, the cat meowing. Just the silence would wake me up sometimes. I heard a noise that kept going on and going off and going on and going off. And I was like, you know, half asleep, half awake. And so I told my wife about it the next day. I said, I don't know. I said, the water softener was keeping me up, I guess. She goes, we don't have a water softener. I said, wonder what that was then. Not really sure, but whatever it was keeping me up along with everything else, you know. So yeah, it's been an interesting experience, but I'm definitely happy she's going to be home. So anyway,
I mean, does she know not to try the door?
I think she does.
She could probably take it off and not.
No,
it, right?
I think or she knows. We... You know why she knows? Because one day we were in there together, and she closed the door, and Daddy had trouble opening it because of the thing on it. So she knows what that thing is.
Okay.
I think she's smart enough to know that. I believe so. I could talk forever about this stuff. We gotta take this first break, and when we come back, we're gonna get my friend Magic Matt on the phone. And Batman, you can't call him because he texted me before the show started, and he gave me a like 18th number to call him at. So I'm gonna run in there here during the break and give you the number to call him at. So let's go ahead and take the break, and when we come back, we will talk to my buddy Magic Matt. We will be right back.
This is the Brad Westmar Show.
Girls, have you ever been out on a date so bad that you wanted to hide under the table or chew your arm off to get away? You know what I'm talking about. You're too embarrassed to bring him home to meet the family because you never know what that dumbass will say next. Well, say goodbye to Mr. Wrong. They'll all be Mr. Rights from now on.
Dad, this is Jimmy.
Hey there, Pops. What's up? Nice to meet you, Jimmy. Carlos told me a lot about you.
Man, your hot ass of a girl sure knows how to rock my world. And those...
What the hell's wrong with you?
I meant to say it's really a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Walker. Carla here sure is a gem.
Introducing our revolutionary new patented brainwave-altering device. Quickly and efficiently, it stabilizes right brain and left brain activity and eliminates that unwanted male genetic Tourette's. With the click of a button, you can zap any guy into the man of your dream. Just point the control towards its head and zap him right. Our system is guaranteed to work every time. It's small enough to fit into your purse or pocket, and you'll never know what hit him.
Yo, bitch, get over here. Bend down in front of me and start. Honey, you look wonderful tonight. And did I tell you, you're always right?
Carla, where on earth did you find such a nice young man?
It worked on my boyfriend, and it'll work on yours, or your brother, or your boss. They make great stocking stuffers, hostess thank yous, and bridal shower gifts. Date with confidence. This holiday, give the gift of peace of mind. Call 1-800-ZAP-HIM. Zap him right. Making the world a safer place to date.
May cause brain damage, blurred vision, nosebleeds, and uncontrollable emotional outbursts. Not to be used on children or the elderly. We do not guarantee this product if used inappropriately. It cannot be administered more than once in a 24-hour period. Keep away from hamsters, gerbils, and small ferrets.
Hating pirates since 2005. The Brad Westmar Show.
And welcome back to the Brad Westmar Show. Brad, Jared, and Batman here. Thank you for joining us tonight. By the way, check us out at bradwestmar.com. That's my baby. I'm enjoying doing that. The blog is cool. Tons of videos. I'm a video kind of guy, as you know.
You are taking advantage of all the internet has to offer.
YouTube kicks butt. I don't know.
It's a horrible time suck, though.
Yeah, I know. You're right. Seriously, what happened was one day I was on YouTube, and I looked down at my watch, and I was 40. It was just, I just instantly got older. It was ridiculous. But check out bradwestmart.com. Also, of course, our mothership station website at jackaloperadio.com. Lots of great radio shows there. And you can also check us out. I guess I'm the only one who really frequents Twitter, and you can find me at Brad Westmar. And you can call and leave us a voicemail, but we'll never get it. 310-928-7857. That's still an absolute mess that we have going on there as well. So without further ado, I want to introduce my good friend, whom I don't think I've spoken to now in, 10, 11, 12 years or something like that. Magic Matt, so good to have you here. Magic Matt, you are the first person from my radio past to ever join me on any of my shows. How are you, pal?
I'm doing good. How about you?
You know, I'm doing radio again. That means I must be really desperate for attention.
It's been a long time since we've talked.
It really has been. I mean, I think the last time we actually spoke, you were in town with your then fiance or girlfriend, who you're now, of course, is your wife. And I want to say that it was probably 1999 or 2000, maybe.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it's probably that summer of 99.
Oh, wait, I did come. Didn't I come to your wedding, though? I think I did.
Yeah, you're one of my groomsmen.
See?
I forgot about that.
Wow.
It was a quick trip, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, you were down there, so it was kind of just a back and forth deal.
Yeah, that's I was a groomsman. See, I haven't seen any pictures. That's why I don't remember.
I'll just send you a photographic evidence.
Yes, please do. I do need, because I know you were at mine. I have video evidence of that. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I think we were in charge of that video evidence too.
I believe so. So, you know, I was just telling the guys here on the show that I, for some reason, have complete memory loss when it comes to my old radio days in Sioux City, Iowa at KG95. And you and I were talking on messages that you probably have a little bit better memory of some of the times that we had together. I mean, first of all, remind me how we first started to work together. Were you running boards for the Twins games?
Yeah. Actually, that's exactly how I got hired. I got hired to do just run the commercials during the Twins games on KWSL, and you know, I did that for a little while, and then they asked me to come over and do the FM side of things with some board hopping duties for you, and then I ran was it KC's Top 40 back then, and future hits and things like that. So
then we
started hanging out after they moved me over there to do some board hopping, and that wasn't you know, more than a couple months after I started.
That's what I thought. It moved you over there pretty fast because you showed promise, you know.
Yeah.
And you were still in high school.
Or necessity.
It was a little bit of both, yeah. Because we had to say, well, can he get a ride to work because he's only 15 and can't drive? Remember that?
Well, actually, no, I could drive.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't have enough cars around the house
back
then.
Okay, that's right.
No, I think I was 16. Yeah, I was 16 when I got hired down there. And
okay.
You know, I did catch a ride with you quite a bit because we were a household of five with one.
That's right.
Tempo between all of us.
That's right. And we didn't live too far from each other.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably just like a mile and a half.
Yeah. I remember that now. Yeah. See, I told you, Jared, my memory's brutal. I can't remember. I was at his wedding. I forgot.
That's bad.
And that was after my radio days, you know? So, man, what a mess. So, okay. So what I remember best about you was that you took care of me. I mean, I never had to worry about anything. I mean, I had the mind of a pinball, just kind of bouncing around during my on-site appearances, and you know, you'd have to kind of keep me in line and let me know when I'm coming on next and stuff, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It was kind of like corralling a puppy. You know, you were kind of just all over the place. And, of course, we were never in the same building at the same time when we did this stuff. So, you know, I was in the studio taking care of all the important stuff. And then you would come on the air for a minute or two every once in a while. And, you know, then we'd talk back and forth through the board.
Yeah, that's how we would do it, exactly. And I remember, if I remember correctly, wasn't the very first time we ever tested you out to do that, did we not actually set the equipment up upstairs, and I went upstairs and pretended to broadcast live from the offices during that. I thought so. And then he stood.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, yeah. See, there's one he forgot about.
We did it from the same building.
Yeah, we did. We did.
That's right.
He stayed.
Moved on to bowling alley remotes and then swimming pool remotes and everything else.
For example, Jared, I mean, obviously, if we wanted to do that, we'd just leave Batman right there in the control room, and then we'd go out, I don't know, in the lobby here, and we could just broadcast from there. And it was just a good way to make sure he knew what he was doing.
You can broadcast from anywhere you want.
I know. In fact, we're going to do that, Batman. I think that when the weather finally gets nice out around here on a regular basis, I think I'm just going to sit out in the parking lot and have a couple of beers, and then we'll just maybe take the wireless mics down there, and Jared and I'll just do the show from down there, if that's okay with you. Okay, good. He's got the thumbs up. So
do we have rooftop access? Because that would be good, too.
Can we get to the roof? That'd be nice. Yeah, he's thinking
That'd
about
be cool.
it.
Find out.
That would be cool. Yeah, well, we could bring Matt to town.
From the roof.
Well, or we could just bring Matt to town, let him run the board, and then Batman can go up there and show us how Batman doesn't fly.
No. You better stay closer than that. I'd be rusty.
Well, that's okay. We'll do some tests. Don't worry about it. It's okay.
There you go. All right.
Do you have any good stories, though? Because I can't remember anything weird or funny, I mean, in particular.
Well, you know, the first couple that pop into my head were, you know, the you know, boombox, us driving around in that boombox, dragging that thing around with the KG95 van.
Yeah.
And then in all the tight squeezes that we had to make with that, I mean, it was, I think you just started driving that when we had started working together. It was a lot of me directing you into very tight spaces with that gigantic thing.
Yeah, and what he's talking about with the boombox is it's just one of those, you've probably seen it before with other radio stations, just a huge, giant PA system with a booth in the middle of it. And, and we actually, I think, didn't we try to haul that thing on your tempo one time? I mean, it may as well have been on a tempo because, I mean, it was just a little 1980 Ford van that we drug it around with, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And, a rolling garbage can.
Yeah, pretty much. No. I had never, ever, ever driven anything like that before. And so, like he says, we'd have to go back it into the garage or whatever where we kept it. I didn't know what I was doing, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, like I said, I got out and direct you in, and it was a real learning experience. You know, you did quite well with it, actually, because it was a huge deal.
Yeah, I got better at it, that's for sure. I think the hardest part really was getting the boombox off the hitch half the time, you know?
And
it never worked because you were like, you know, 120 pounds soaking wet, and it'd be like, Matt, jump on that, please. And it was just,
it wasn't happening.
No, it wasn't.
No help in that department.
No. So what else? Anything else off the top of your head? I mean, I remember those days. That's true. That boombox sucked.
Well, you know, you taught me a lot. You taught me a lot about how to survive at a radio station if you get hungry at, you know, midnight or whatever it was we were there. And all you had to survive on was leftover Lay's potato chips and mustard packets.
Yeah,
I don't know if you remember that or not, but you'd put them right in a whole packet right on a chip and... that was your snack.
Yep.
That or burnt popcorn. That's all we had around there.
That's true. It's true. And and here's one that we do you remember this too? The pop machine had pop in it, but generally you didn't need to spend money on pop. Maybe it wasn't this way when you were there, but we had bottled pop, but the pop bottle, the stock was set in another room. So you wouldn't go buy a pop because, you know, you're making, you know, $4 an hour or whatever. You can't afford to buy a pop, even if it's 40 cents a bottle. So you just go to the pop stock, put two or three bottles in the refrigerator when your shift starts, put one in the freezer. Did you do that too? Do you remember doing that?
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, you know, a lot of shortcuts for things like that around there.
You had to do that kind of stuff. But the chips and mustard was good.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah,
chips
that's
and mustard. It's stuck in my head.
That's good.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah, because I remember it was left over from some party or something like that. That station party for some listener or something like that. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had those. They had extra things around. You know, most of the time they were koozies or T-shirts or things like that. But you know,
you can't eat.
We had a little extra food.
Yeah, you can't eat koozies generally,
unless you're really hungry.
which there were times when I would get hungry. I mean,
we were there late, you know. You're kind of stuck in the basement of this building. You can't really go anywhere, so
exactly.
You gotta make do.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, it was great having you as my man back then, and you know, we're working on you know, finding a new position for Batman, and maybe we'll bring you in to take his place. He's not even paying attention. Oh, he is.
I will have to kill you.
He is paying attention. Okay, just making sure that he was.
I'm going to throw a battering and crack you right
in the forehead. That would hurt. I don't want you to do that. So, Matt, one of the reasons why, besides refreshing my memory on some of the stuff of the olden days, was that you had mentioned on Facebook that you had a big change in your life when it came to your sports allegiances. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that? Because I thought it was so... I was shocked. I was really shocked.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, I was a Cubs fan, you know, my entire life, ever since I was about 7 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, a long-suffering Cubs fan, and you know, I just kind of been agonizing more and more about it, you know, through the years, and was just unhappier year after year. And this past fall, they finally, you know, the reason I became a Cubs fan in the first place was because of Ryan Sandberg.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was in line to get the manager job this fall for them, and they kind of ran him through the minors the last 4 years and then didn't hire him and kind of railroaded him that way. And I just, you know, I couldn't take it anymore. And that was kind of the last straw for me. So I decided to divorce the Cubs, as I put it.
Wow. I'm just amazed by that. A lot of people will say that, you know, that I'm done. I'm done with the Cubs or I'm done with the Cowboys or I'm done with the Dolphins or whatever. But they don't mean it. I mean, it's like they don't change. But I mean, to actually do that. And the reason, Jared, that I knew he had really done it or was pretty sure he had done it was because there were some pictures of him when he came down here for some Royals games here. And he mentioned it, you know, in passing somewhere, and I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And sure enough, I mean, the cool thing is the colors don't change much, you know, now that you're a Royals fan.
That's right, blue hat.
Yeah, wait, you can't beat that.
Wait, you went from the Cubs to the Royals?
Now, explain yourself on that.
Okay, there's a good explanation for it. You know, first of all, I'm in Sioux City, so that's the closest team to Sioux City.
True.
But when we were growing up, my dad was a Royals fan. When we were growing up, and he's kind of jumped on the Cubs bandwagon with us through the years, but, you know, they're close to home, and nice to be able to take a trip down there and back in one day and go see the games. I can take my girls to the games, and you know, and if you're going to switch teams and do what I did, you kind of have to, you know, start on the bottom floor too.
Yeah, you can't just start becoming a Yankees fan all of a sudden.
Yeah, we did that, and I had a lot of people ask me about the Twins. You know, why aren't you a Twins fan? And you know, we're actually pretty much dead center in between Minneapolis and Kansas City, but you know, you can't do that. They just won the division, and I've never been a big Twins fan anyway.
So. Well, and the Royals are supposed to be up and coming. I mean, let's be honest; they got a lot of good young talent. You know,
they've been saying
You know, they're exciting and they're young, and you know, and the way they do things is complete polar opposite to the way the Cubs do things. And whether it works or not with the Royals and a lot of, you know, short-term contracts to veterans and kind of, you know, making sure that those spaces are clear for the young guys, it just, to me, it makes sense. And it makes for more exciting, competitive baseball.
Well, and if you think about it this way, Jared, okay, he spent 25 to 30 years being a Cubs fan and was disappointed. He's got another 25 or 30 years. He can be a Royals fan and be disappointed right along with me.
I mean, I start from scratch.
Exactly, exactly.
Yep. Yeah. See, my frustration bank is completely empty right now.
Exactly. It's we call that bankruptcy. I mean, I read about a thing called email bankruptcy where you say, you know what, I'm giving up. I'm not responding to any of these emails that I haven't responded to before. I'm just starting over. I'm starting fresh. Same thing with the you know, your allegiance. You're starting fresh. You're not frustrated. You're enjoying it. And Jared, you're looking at me blankly. Can you imagine? I mean, you've been a lifelong Red Sox fan yourself, and you suffered a long, long time.
But you know, it's a different kind of suffering. You know, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, Matt. I mean, we were very roller coastery. There were definitely periods of complete suck in the Red Sox time, but there was also those moments where you were just whisper thin from realizing. Yeah. You know, something that you waited for that my grandfather hadn't seen in his lifetime. And so that those were tough. And then the ways that like the media would always, I mean, they'd show that damn ball going through Buckner's legs every time. Yeah. And it just made you wanted to kick a puppy. And,
well, that was as brutal as it gets that year in 86 when they lost it that way. That's as close as you get. And that's as brutal as a defeat as you'll ever see.
Well, and I don't know if you've experienced this. What made it doubly insufferable for me is that, you know, you have a team that's a rival that is the you know, baseball's crown jewel and some of the most obnoxious fans. And now, and I will say it was all worth it for 2004 when that finally happened and when the Red Sox won. And now, you know, Red Sox fans are probably just as much jackasses as a collective. I mean, they're not exactly liked anymore. They went from, like, lovable losers to, you know, arrogant, entitled jerks.
Yeah.
They get lumped in with the Yankees a lot.
They do now.
I know.
But I do see your point, Jared. I mean, it's not necessarily the same thing. I mean, there's been a lot of suffering, you know, with Cubs fans. And for me now as a Royals fan here in Kansas City, it'd be hard to pull my allegiance from the city that I'm actually living in, too. Oh, but I will tell you, it is frustrating. Like, if you live in Chicago, it might be different. I mean, who knows, you know?
Oh, sure. Yeah, and I've always said that. If I did live in Chicago, and I have a friend that lives out there, and he's still a Cubs fan, of course. And, you know, if I did live out there, I probably wouldn't have changed because, you know, you're there.
Right.
So you're going to go to games, and you're surrounded by it all the time on TV and on, you know, on the radio and in newspapers and things like that. So,
yeah, no.
If you're in town, you know, you have to stick with it.
It's different. Well, I'm going to have to let you go, Matt. We got to move on. But I do want to – how did the rest of your family take this switch? I mean, this was a Matt decision. It wasn't a – I mean, you got a sister that's a Cub fan too, right?
Well, no, actually, my sister's been a Giants fan for a long
time. Oh, okay.
So she has bragging rights right now.
Okay, she does.
For all of us. But the funniest part about it is, you know, my poor kids are kind of – they root for whoever dad roots for, and whether it's the Red Wings in hockey or the Dolphins in the NFL. But the day that I told them – I don't know why it wasn't that big of a production, but we, Stacy and I were in the kitchen, and I told the kids, I said, you know, it's official. I'm not a Cubs fan anymore. And I'm not kidding you. It wasn't a 2-second pause, and they go, oh, good. Can I be a Red Sox fan, or can I be a Twins fan, or can I be a Giants fan? I mean, it was like they were pardoned.
They were ready. They were like, okay, I want to be somebody else's fan now. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, they're so good, you know, such good, loyal kids, and just, you know, right along with me all these years. But just the minute I turned them loose, it's just like opening a gate to a dog, and they just took off.
That's cute, though. That's kids, you know. What?
I just don't want you to feel like you're cheating yourself out of that opportunity, because eventually, you know, statistically, they will win at some point. And I got to tell you, man, that there's no better feeling. I mean, I was crying on the way to work when that finally happened, as much of a wuss as I am. And I don't know, just giving up on that potential would have been heartbreaking.
I thought about that long and hard, and I've had this discussion with other Cubs fans, but I always tell them, like, look, there's 29 other teams in the league that want to win it and, you know, have a chance to win it every year, too. And the way the Cubs go about it now is the way they've always gone about it.
Right.
It's just never going to change, and it's just one of those things where, you know, if it happens, it happens, but hopefully the Royals will get one before then, and then I won't lose any sleep over it.
That'd be nice. That would be nice. Yeah. Now, before we let you go, real quick, I like to do this with people, and I mean, I know what you look like, but the other listeners out there do not. What celebrity do you think you most resemble, Matt?
Oh, that's an easy one. Edward Norton.
Oh, I didn't. I had never really thought about Ed Norton. You're right.
Yeah,
you do.
I could get it all the time.
Yeah, see, I like to tell people you look like Tim Lincecum. Because
used to have the same haircut.
You used to have the same haircut. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But I can see the Ed Norton. That's true. A little bit.
Yeah, I get that. I get that quite a bit. I've gotten that for a long time.
And what's really funny about it is now people are listening and they're trying to put Ed Norton and Tim Lincecum in the same place.
Nice.
You know what I mean? And it's kind of
nice.
Hard to
yep.
do, you know? But
yeah.
You've got that cross, I think, going on where it's like you don't really look like Tim Lincecum, but with the hair and everything else, it kind of reminds me, you know? I mean,
you could probably Photoshop Tim Lincecum's hairdo on you know, a 10-year-old, 15-year-old picture of Edward Norton, you'd probably get a good idea what my senior
true.
Pictures look like.
That's probably true. I was going to say that you should play Tim Lincecum in the Tim Lincecum story movie, but I think maybe Ed Norton should do it. That makes sense.
Yeah, we'll let him do it.
That's how we cross the two. Ed Norton plays Tim Lincecum in the story about Tim Lincecum. That's what it
there
is.
There you go.
I'm glad we've solved that.
Perfect. Matt, thanks again for joining us. Let's give him a little bit of a round of applause here if we can, please. Very
Thank
nice.
You. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
You bet, pal. We're going to have to get together again very soon. We haven't been together in a long time.
That would be great. We're coming down there this summer, so we'll get a hold of you.
Sounds good. Keep in touch. We'll talk to you soon, Matt.
All right. Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye. That was my good buddy, Magic Matt. I love the guy. I miss him.
I can see why you might.
He's a super guy. And he sounds great. You know, he may have sounded the best out of any guest. No offense to anybody else, but you could tell he's been in radio before.
Right.
He spoke... Right. Clearly, plus we got him on a landline, which helps.
Yes, know, so. That's definitely a point in favor.
Definitely, and Batman's nodding too. So let's go ahead and take the second break. When we come back, we're going to do something that we didn't get to do last week. You're a boob guy. We're going to talk about celebrity breastises.
All right, but I'm not going to be good at this.
No,
you know that.
No, I know, but that's okay.
I'm a boob guy, but I have a limited boob exposure.
I understand. We will be right back.
The Brad Westmar Show will be right back. How many times has this happened in your fast food career?
I wanted to put you on drive-thru, Arnie, but Marvin's just more qualified.
But Mr. Winslow...
I'm sorry, Arnie. Maybe next time.
You need DUSPA, the drive-up school of professional announcing. In less than 6 weeks, we'll fine-tune your fast food announcing skills to paring knife precision under the guidance of Warren Spudman, the Earl of Intercom.
Welcome to Wiener World. May I help you?
Welcome to Wiener World. May I help you?
Let Professor Spudman guide you step-by-step through every element of drive-thru, starting with the basics.
Would you like fries or an apple pie with that?
Would you like fries or an apple pie with that?
All the way to advanced roll calling.
That's 3 Barney burgers, 1 with cheese, the other 2 minus onions, 2 crunchy curly fries, a half order of onion rings, a 2,000 leagues fun pack with squid dog and tater tots, 1 chocolate mocha malt, 2 diet sodas, and an iced tea with 2 lemon wedges.
The Drive-Up School of Professional Announcing. 6 weeks with us. And you can kiss the Frymaster 9000 goodbye forever.
A degree from DUSPA?
Yeah.
Arnie, say hello to the windows of the world.
Golly jeepers.
The Drive-Up School of Professional Announcing. It's the fast track to the front line.
Welcome to Wiener World. May I help you?
We now return to the Brad Westmar Show.
And we are back to the Brad Westmar Show. Brad, Jared, and Batman here. A few sports things of note that I wanted to just kind of brief you on. Nothing that people don't already know, but the NFL lockout is over, sort of.
It seems like there's a ray of hope, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Actually getting taken care of a little bit quicker than I assumed. What was that? Get that off there. Right. Was that a voicemail? Do we have voicemails? Was that? No. Okay.
You got all excited.
Man. So, yeah, I mean, it's looking good, which is great, but they do need to be careful from what I've heard. I haven't really had a chance to check the news out so much or the sports news and stuff, but if I understand correctly, if the owners are really going to, you know, block it, they're going to need to do something pretty quickly because free agents are going to be able to sign and...
Well, and we have the draft is.
The draft is tomorrow. Oh, well, technically the draft has started with the airing of this show. Pardon me. Yes. Tomorrow. Yes. My bad. Memorex. Hello.
Right. Beta. Time warp again.
Time warp. Royal man's confused. So anyway, NFL lockout to presumably over. NHL playoffs in full swing. I can't really say much about any particular team because the first round is still going for some teams that you and I like.
Yes. Yeah,
let's not even get specific about it right now.
I've got a game
tonight.
I know.
We'll go ahead and say, as long as we're talking in backwards in beta.
I know. So I'm going to be either very happy or very upset.
Well, let's real quick. Okay. And again, we're on Memorex, but I had to write a guy up today who came to work and told me what happened in the Blackhawks game last night.
Did you not see it?
I had a DVR'd. Because I was busy all night with my daughter, and I saw just enough this morning. I fast forwarded through it just enough to see that it was 1-1 at the end of regulation. I'm like, this was a great game that I missed. I'll watch it when I get home and then catch up on the Bruins game, you know, which is live, you know, tonight. Sure enough, he came in. Boy, I was hoping the Blackhawks could. Oh man, I said, that's it. You're right. I'm writing you up. What for? Insubordination.
What?
Sid. You know.
That was last night. Was that last night's game?
Yeah.
Because I could have sworn the score, Vancouver just pounded the crap out of them.
No, this last night.
Oh, wait. No, that was a later game.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
I'm thinking of the Philadelphia game.
Yeah, that which was the game they showed. They didn't show the Bruins game, but they showed the Flyers knocking the crap out of the...
Yeah, that's right. I got the two games.
Some Canadian team. Yeah. Anyway, so NHL, if you're not an NHL fan, you're a moron, because Jared and I are. Royals are coming back to Earth. They've lost, as of the taping of the show, 4 in a row, I do believe. And, you know, we hope that they can pull it out and maybe at least be competitive the rest of the year.
Maybe they don't want to pull it out.
We'll see. You never know. Sometimes it feels better to leave it in.
Right.
And Paul Splittorff, real quick. Okay. Mm-hmm. We could talk about this forever, but I just don't think he belongs in the booth doing games. I know it's Dick Clark all over again.
I was just about to say the exact same thing.
And for a guy who supposedly had a virus that caused him to sound like this, he sounds mysteriously like he had a stroke, Mr. Dick Clark.
Yeah.
You know? And I love Paul Splittorff. Paul Splittorff went to college in Sioux City, Iowa, at Morningside College, where my wife graduated from, as a matter of fact, and where I started in radio.
It just kind of puts a downer on the whole thing.
Yeah, it does. It's not easy to listen
to. You don't need
to.
Any additional downers.
No. No, not when you're watching Royals. No, you're right. No, you're absolutely right. God love Paul Splittorff, but they really, I mean, and seriously, I'll leave you with this. If you're Paul Splittorff, at what point do you say, why am I doing this? I don't sound good. Why are they letting me do it? I sound terrible.
Maybe the same thing happened to his hearing and he doesn't
what could be?
Maybe the virus is in his ear too.
Real quick, we won't get through all of these, but I told you last week, I got pretty good at doing these as I put this whole list together of celebrity bra sizes, okay? Again, the number measurement is the chest measurement from all the way around the chest in the busticle area. Okay. And then the CBA or D or whatever is the cup size, the size of the actual breast. Let's start with one that should be easy. Bo Derek.
Okay. So I'm guessing.
You're going to guess. And I don't think Batman's even on this planet right now. So if he wants to guess, he can.
I am here.
Okay.
Well, I would say that she's always considered the standard, right? I
mean, she's considered perfect.
The standard is 36.
Okay.
From what I understand. If Playboy is to be believed growing up.
Correct. Right? Okay. So you want to go with 36?
Yeah, but cup size, I guess, probably somewhere in the middle, which there's no E, right?
The show is only
no F,
the
C.
Show is only an hour.
I'll say C.
Okay, 36C. Batman, do you want to take a stab?
I would have to agree with Jared on this one.
You guys did a very good job. That 36C it is.
Okay.
Very good.
It's going to be, you're going to throw in a Rosie O'Donnell and I'm going to be completely.
Well, why don't we jump down to one that's kind of, why don't we jump down to a goofy one here?
Oh, no.
Okay. All right.
Oh, mercy.
One of my favorites, Oprah Winfrey.
No, see.
Yeah.
Now we have to, well, at what age?
Well.
At what stage in her many various.
I'm going to say currently, I guess, because this, yeah, I'm going to say currently. Yeah. I'm going to guess this is current, this one here. Yeah. Now you have to take into account, and Batman, if you want to guess first, you can. Take into account, again, her size, you know,
but,
around.
But the worst part about this exercise is that you have to craft a mental image, and you're making me.
I know.
Which is, it's a horribly scarring.
Well, go cup size first.
I'm going to just say 46D.
46D. That, no, that's how big I was. Okay. No. 46D is not, 46D?
Yeah.
Oh, you got the cup size, right? Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. You did. Do you want to take a guess on the chest measurement, Batman?
I don't know, 42, 38, somewhere in there.
36D, this says. Maybe
what? There okay, is no way.
This is not the current one. This must be the thinner Oprah Winfrey. You're right. The 36 has got to be. Because how could she have the same.
Pre-beach ball.
As Bo Derek. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, no. Yep. This has got to be the thinner.
Bo Derek in her prime would have smoked.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no.
No, no. But 36 doesn't make you hot. Just because your chest size
no,
is 36.
But I'm just saying in terms of like proportions, too.
No, that's true. That's true. Okay, let's try this one. Somebody from our recent history here on the show.
Oh, no.
Lindsay Wagner. Lindsay Wagner. What is her bra size? Lindsay Wagner.
34C.
Okay, he says 34C.
I think I'm going to go with a B cup size.
Okay, and do you want to go with...
34. I'm going to... She did seem thinner.
Okay.
They're in even numbers though, right?
Yeah, they are actually.
I'll just say 34 too.
Okay, you say 34B. Yeah. Okay, it is 34. It is 34, but it's 34A.
Holy cow!
Yeah, yeah. She's not as loaded there as you think.
She needs some bionic boobs.
Yeah, she does. Let's see here. How about? How about?
No, no.
How about Kelly Ripa? Kelly Ripa, what is her bra size?
She's not especially ample.
No, she's not.
I'm going to have to
in
go.
In fact,
with...
to be honest with you, they consider her in some countries handicapped.
I would say 34A.
34A, okay. Batman, do you want to take a guess?
You know, I don't even know who the hell Kelly Ripa is, really.
I'm not surprised. That's
I
okay.
I try to steer clear of that kind of thing. But,
I understand.
Yeah, I'm just going to
back don't
out
even
this.
Guess, okay. You're close, Jared. 32. Did you say A?
Yeah.
32A.
Okay.
32A, yes. Yeah, she's got mosquito bites, basically. Let's see here. I can actually answer your questions with this one. I know you're going to have some questions. Pamela Anderson.
What do you think my question's going to be?
You're going to say
post?
Before implants or after implants? Well, I actually have both here. If you want to guess with the implants, first of all, you can.
I'll say 36D.
You want to guess 36D? Would
yeah,
you like
post,
to,
yeah.
You, okay. Actually, 34, because she's not very, she's kind of thin, actually.
Right.
34DD with the implants.
Ah, okay.
Without the implants, which is so funny, because without the implants, she was a 34C, which really isn't that bad.
No.
You know,
not at all.
Which is that she was probably the prime example of somebody who got them that didn't need to have them. I don't think she has them now. Did she have them take them out? I don't remember now. I can't.
Good question.
She's not in the news much anymore. I've got, as you can see, a heck of a lot more of these here.
As
so
you can see.
We will see you.
See.
Have I done Tallahassee yet? I can't remember.
Yes.
Did I do that last week? Okay. Did I do Tampa last week?
You did, but I don't know what you did Tallahassee at some point, yeah.
Help me with another T word.
Tucson? Have you done that one?
We could do that one. Okay. Yeah. I think they're trying to close the show on us. They're playing my song.
That's all right. You got business.
We're going to do a show next week, allegedly. We'll see.
You're putting your faith in some pretty sketchy things.
Yeah, we're putting, much like Batman did here a couple of weeks ago. Did you fly Delta? Yeah. I'm putting my faith in Delta next week before we memorize the show.
getting in or out of Kansas City is always, everywhere else is fine. Leaving Kansas City sucks. Coming home sucks.
Can't wait. Cannot freaking wait. I'm coming in. Actually, the plan is to get in town, land, and have Avcar pick me up and bring me to the studio to record the show. Wish us luck. I'll keep you posted.
There's Batman. A lot of variables.
I'll be here, rain or shine.
Okay. Oh, God, lots of praying, man. Jared, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, sir.
Batman, always a pleasure to be with you as well. I am Brad Westmore. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you in Tucson. Good night.
Won't talk to me now.